The following program is paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395, and Washington CL number 81395, is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420, is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit AbsoluteLoans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.
You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell. Sponsored by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Now, in the studio, local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome to the Money Hour on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, June 14th show. I am your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell. Thank you for taking time to talk money each week. I share expert advice and inside knowledge on how today's events in our local economy can affect your money. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, but we are here to assist and answer any questions that you have. And you definitely will want to connect with at least one of my guests in studio today. So please take down our phone number. My show number is 1-855-411-50. Again, that's 1-855-411-50, or online at themoneyhour.com. And the lineup for my show today, we have Mark Pellegrino with Rainier Group, Wealth Planning, Investment Strategy, and Investment Solutions. There are a lot of decisions to be made when it comes to your money and how to invest it. So excited to talk with Mark today. Also have in studio Julie Booth with Booth Escrow. When you're purchasing a home or refinancing an existing loan, you will have to hire an escrow company. Understanding what they do is really important to understand the process and how to continue to make that process move smoothly. One of the most important people during the transaction is what happens at the end, and that's what escrow does for you. And my last guest in studio, Deborah Trapin with D11 Consulting. Embrace your uniqueness with personal branding. How do your clients see your business? Your branding tells a story, and today we're going to talk about tips and things that you should know from Deborah. That's what she does day in and day out in her business, is help women and their businesses tell their story and help with their branding. Great information and great guests in studio today. For more information on any topics discussed, please call into the show at 1-855-411-50 or online at themoneyhour.com. Again, it's 1-855-411-50. And let's go ahead and start out the show with a little money chat.
Money. Money.
Today I wanted to bring my expertise, being that what I do as a full-time career is mortgages. I just talked to you guys over the weekend on my weekend show here. But is mortgage insurance. I think a lot of people don't understand really what options that they have around this and what mortgage insurance is, or otherwise known as private mortgage insurance, PMI. In the U.S., is an insurance payable to a lender or trustee for a pool of securities that may require when taking out a mortgage. It's an insurance to offset the losses in case a consumer is not able to repay the loan and the lender is not able to recover its cost after foreclosure and the sale of a property. So it's not an insurance for the borrower, but it's an insurance for the lender. And if it weren't for private mortgage insurance, PMI, you would not be able to get a loan unless you had 20% down. So there is something good about this having it available. There's nothing good about paying it, but it's good that it is available. And it's important to make sure that you're asking your mortgage representative about the options with mortgage insurance. And this is what I want to share, the tip I want to give you today. Most consumers don't understand that there's actually options available. And I would say probably 90% of you listening right now, and maybe 90% and possibly even 100%, don't know that there's different mortgage insurance carriers that have different mortgage insurance prices. Everybody just goes along with the mortgage insurance that's attached to their lender when they're providing those loan options. And just as a given, that's what it is. You want to make sure that you're going with a company that has access to all of the five providers that are out there. You've got your major five providers. So just ask them, do you have options to the five major providers? And are you going to be doing some comparison shopping on the mortgage insurance? Now, what I will tell you is United Guarantee is going to be your lowest price in most situations if you're a strong credit borrower, You have a low debt to income ratio, which means, and you'll know that because when your mortgage consultant approves you for a $700,000 purchase and you're purchasing a home for $500,000, you know that you have a low debt to income ratio. You're actually borrowing much less than what the amount is. And that's a really extreme example. Also, if you have more than one borrower, if you're purchasing with a spouse or a significant other, there's a greater chance that you're not going to default because of the fact that you have two income wage earners. So if you have a spouse or a partner, both of you are earning an income, United Guaranty chances is going to be a better option for you. The next best carrier is going to be Radian. So again, I would ask who the carriers are. Remember those two, but ask if they have access to all five of them. And what you're going to see, sometimes your major lenders, they actually have one mortgage insurance company that they use. It's going to be the highest premium because they want to make sure that nothing gets underdisclosed. And so that way they're covered. And all the clients, you just move forward with it, not understanding that there actually is multiple carriers out there. So that's why a major bank would use the highest premium carrier, is because for compliance purposes. So if you have any questions on that, again, please feel free to pick up the phone, give the show a call, 1-855-411-50, or you can always reach me online at themoneyhour.com. Now, also, you've understanding that there's different options. Most people think that mortgage insurance is just monthly. Pay a monthly mortgage insurance. There's actually other options that are available. I think a really good option is your buyout. It's when you pay a one-time fee to completely buy out the mortgage insurance. And depending on what you're doing for down payment, your qualifying factors, if you're doing a low down payment, it's probably 1.75% is a good estimate. So if you compare that to the monthly, it's going to be anywhere from 2.5 to 3 years to recover that one cost that you paid, that one-time cost that you paid up front to avoid monthly mortgage insurance. Now, yes, at some point in time, you're going to be able to release the monthly mortgage insurance on a conventional loan, but it's minimum 2 years, regardless of the appreciation, regardless of how much you put towards principal. It's a minimum 2 years before you can go through the early removal process of mortgage insurance. After that 2 years, depending on the appreciation in your home, once you have a 20% equity position, then you can go through the process of removal. Not easy. It's a lot of paperwork and you've got to pay for an appraisal, but all lenders have to abide by the guidelines of removing mortgage insurance. So if you truly have the equity position in your home, you will release it. So is it worth it if it's 2.5 years to recover, if you're not sure what the appreciation is going to do, if you're not making any major principal reductions, and knowing that it's based on the original appraised value where it automatically drops off, which obviously depends on rate, but maybe 7-9 years or so? Is it worth it, or do you just want to buy it out? So that's a really popular option with my clients. The other option is a split. Split just being a split between monthly and buyout. So you have a smaller monthly and a smaller buyout. I just think you pick one of them, pick monthly or pick buyout, and go with it. But a split is an option that you have to look at as well. The last option is a lender pay. I think the lender pay option is not a good option to go with unless you're very, very short term on this loan. The reason why is because you're going to take typically about 0.5% higher. There is no mortgage insurance, but the lender is going to pay for it for you. But how they pay for it is they increase the interest rate. So would you want to pay 0.5% interest rate over a long period on your loan to avoid paying the mortgage insurance? Definitely not. You'd want to do the buyout or the monthly option before the lender pay. But what's most important is that you look at the options, see everything lined out, and see what makes most sense for you. And let's go ahead, and we got to take it to commercial break. So coming up next on the Money Hour, what does it really take to become financially smart? What should you be doing with your money? Well, I've got Mark Pellegrino with Rainier Group right here on 1150 AM KKNW after the short break.
Mortgage fraud has been rampant since 2007. Many folks don't know they have legal rights. Find out if your mortgage loan has wrongdoings and fraud. Magnum Law Group will do a free audit of your loan documents. Facing foreclosure? Need to stop a foreclosure sale? Magnum Law Group can help. We have experts with valuable knowledge, and we get results. Have you decided to short sale your property instead of a foreclosure? Magnum Law Group has the experience to negotiate better and faster for you. Call us today at 425-454-4300 or visit magnumlawgroup.com. That's magnumlawgroup.com.
Hi, this is Deborah with Magnum Law Group. Please contact us at 425-454-4300. You can visit our website at www.magnumlawgroup.com or call us at 425-454-4300.
The Rainier Group. Our business is finance, but our passion is people. Since 1988, helping business owners, individual investors, and nonprofit organizations achieve their business transition and financial objectives. The Rainier Group's seasoned investment professionals have a broad range of experience, including investment advice and consulting, business ownership transition, management succession, financial modeling and planning, and family office services. If you're a business owner or individual investor, let the professionals at the Rainier Group help you achieve your life's goals. The Rainier Group. Some firms focus on what you're worth. We focus on what you value. Visit www.rainiergroup.com.
This is Mark Pellegrino with Rainier Group. For investment advice, call me at 425-463-3000 or email mpellegrino@rginv.com.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, June 14th show. I am dedicated to you, my listeners, providing you with all the tools needed to make informed decisions on everything, all matters when it comes to your money. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, but I am here to answer any questions that my listeners have. I'm here to share your questions and connect you directly with any guests that I have in studio. So please feel free to pick up the phone, give my show a call, 1-855-411-50. Again, that's 1-855-411-50, or you can always reach me online at themoneyhour.com. And in studio right now, Mark Pellegrino with Rainier Group. And Mark's going to talk about the financial arena and what's happening in that. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on now, maybe some predictions of what he thinks is good coming up and some good advice in that area. Mark, thank you so much for joining me in studio for the first time.
My pleasure. Good to be here.
As president of Rainier Group Investment Advisory, Mark brings over 27 years to investment advisory experience to the firm, including directing equity research efforts, equity funds management, private and institutional client portfolio management, and the development of mutual fund complexes and alternative investment platform. Sounds like a wealth of information, Mark, that you provide to your clients. I'm really excited for you to share your wealth of information that you have in this arena to my listeners. So let's go ahead and start out with, we've been in a declining interest rate environment since the early 80s, which is a long time to see that. What do you see as the likely path of interest rates from here?
Well, first, we don't think a big sustainable move higher in interest rates is immediately upon us, but we are expecting an acceleration in economic growth, which would probably improve the employment situation, cause wage inflation to creep back into the picture and other inflationary pressures. And with that, we'll likely down the road come a higher interest rate environment. We've been in a declining interest rate environment since 1981, which is an awful long time. So easy to think that the next major move is going to be to the upside, and that will bring a much bigger emphasis on different forms of fixed income investing as we go forward.
Makes total sense. Now, there's been a lot of buzz about Michael Lewis' latest book, Flash Boys, and the subject of high-frequency trading. What are your thoughts about Mr. Lewis and what he has to offer up?
Well, it certainly helped him sell a lot of books and of course, all the speaking engagements. It's clear that high-frequency trading has impacted the investing environment in pretty substantial ways, and I would say both good and bad ways. I guess I'm mostly indignant about these programs, in that these high-frequency trading programs, in that they're neither taking risk nor creating any value. And I think that's where people have a problem with what's going on in that part of the market environment.
Yeah, so you should be really safe and careful with what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about Ukraine. A conflict has been in the news throughout the last few months. And what do you feel will be the effect on the global economy or even in the markets?
Well, fortunately, the situation in the Ukraine has calmed a little bit in the last few weeks. That's not to say that it won't or can't flare up again.
Mm-hmm.
If it does escalate further from here and Europe puts tougher sanctions on Russia, that does create a greater risk for Europe falling back into a mild recession, given the amount of trade that they do with Russia. And that would be a tough place to be, given that it's been exciting to see Europe finally raising their head out of recession and into recovery.
And if you're just tuning in right now, I'm talking with Mark Pellegrino with Rainier Group. And today we're discussing what's happening in the marketplace and what's driving it and some just really great expertise with 27 years in this arena. So, Mark, let's talk about we've been in a jobless recovery since the big recession. And do you see any improvement in employment situation coming? I know you talked a little bit about employment.
Yeah, we've seen some modest improvement, but pretty consistent improvement in the data that's flowing through, whether it's underemployment, job openings, et cetera. There are still some internal concerns, however. The labor force participation rate is stuck at a pretty low level, and that just means people are leaving the workforce, and many of them permanently. We've also seen a record high recently in temporary employment, and we know a lot of those people aren't working temporarily because they want to. It's because they can't find a permanent position. So
yeah.
Until we see some improvement there, I don't think we're going to see big improvement on the employment front, but at least recently we're seeing some modest help on that front.
Sure. And, you never know what somebody's financial situation is and where they're at and how the economy is affecting them. But no matter how you look at it, it always is balanced out. I mean, if we've got a bad job market, then money is cheap. And, but it depends on what side you're stuck on and whether you're able to benefit or it's can be a traumatic situation for you.
Very true.
So first we had the Madoff scandal. And since then, highly publicized inside trading scandals. Also, we've seen a lot more hacking techniques by frauders. And how do you see these things changing in your business or how you're doing your business? How are you changing because of this?
Well, it's clearly increased the degree of difficulty in what we do and that the SEC, who monitors firms like ours, has put a lot more onus on us to have programs in place that would stop out some of those things. Things like added security, we're now encrypting emails, a lot of anti-hacking procedures, bulletproofing our firewalls. So we really tried to get out ahead of this and make sure that our clients weren't affected by a lot of the things that, unfortunately, the nefarious activities of a few, cause us to those of us who do it right to have to react to.
And obviously in my arena as well, in mortgage industry after the crisis in 2008 and Dodd-Frank came out, and we're still seeing the way I looked at it is, it just got a lot of people out of the industry because unless you really cared, unless you really loved what you were doing, it's too much. I mean, there's just too much compliance and too much stuff going out. So it just weeded out all those people that were lazy and really didn't want to be here anyway. So every time something more challenging comes up, I just tell myself that, somebody just got out of the business. I'm not going anywhere. So it's all good.
Right.
So I see that both of the Dow and S&P 500 have recently hit new highs again. What's driving the markets right now?
Well, I think it's the same things that have been driving the markets over the last few years or so. And ordinarily it'd be economic fundamentals, but in fact, it's been more extraneous factors. Just a few things, but pretty powerful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The first of which you'll like, it's called the Tina effect. There
nice.
Is no alternative.
Really?
So when you think about the fact that interest rates are still awfully low, the yields on fixed income vehicles aren't offering up the kind of competition to stock returns that they ordinarily would. There's also a lot of investor complacency out there. We're now 6 years removed from the worst bear market of our generation.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of investors have, quite frankly, either forgotten about or no longer care about what it felt like to go through 2008 and what kind of portfolio value was lost at that moment in time. And, of course, the Fed and the other central banks of the world have played right into that hand by continuing to inject this huge liquidity into the system. And not to be flip, but I think that recipe continues until it doesn't.
Yeah. No, I totally agree, Mark. So how do you go about understanding your clients' return expectations and the true appetite for risk? Because I'm sure it's all, there's why, no, it's individual.
It is, and really built around a client's unique return expectations. Mm-hmm. You know, we've built a lot of proprietary and very sophisticated financial modeling tools and platforms, and so a lot of what we do begins and ends there. Also, some other tools that have been helpful to us is a new one, which we call a risk return matrix, which really tries to home in on an individual's required return and their desired return and the level of risk that that they can or are willing to assume in getting to those returns. And so it's a lot of tools of that nature that really mm-hmm. help us get to the empirical evidence around around an individual's opportunity for return and appetite for risk.
Sure. So, Mark, I know that there's a number of ways to manage a portfolio and investment assets, probably as many as there are investment advisory firms. So stick solely to, I know that there's some that stick solely to the traditional assets, why others believe in an alternative form of investment. How do you define alternative investments and where in the spectrum do you fall?
Yeah, alternative investments can be a pretty broad definition, but generally we're thinking of them as uncorrelated assets. In other words, those that don't offer the same kind of return patterns that traditional stocks and bonds do. And in that way, they provide a diversifying element to a portfolio and really soften the return patterns. And so that would include things like emerging market debt, mm-hmm. high yield bonds, hedge strategies, global real estate, master limited partnerships, commodities, global infrastructure, frontier market investments. And then we also include some opportunistic forms of investment in that where we are locking on to a theme out there and making very targeted investments in that theme.
I know we've got so much. I mean, all of these categories and questions that I have for Mark, we could actually talk on one of them for the entire show. And I know that you're probably hearing something that you'd love to get more information on. If you are, pick up the phone, 1-855-411-50. I can get you directly connected to Mark and get an idea of your overall plan and how he can assist. Now, Mark, the argument over active versus passive investing has been raging for a number of years. Do you believe in one over the other?
Well, first, that argument is one where those who believe in passive investing would suggest that you can't earn incremental returns in active strategies over the above and beyond the fees that one pays for active strategies. We believe differently. We've proven that you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, we're a bit agnostic with regard to active versus passive. We would tend to lead with active strategies because we do believe you can achieve better returns that way. But if we ever believe that in any particular asset class, we can't express our exposure in the most efficient way possible through an active strategy, we're more than willing to go passive.
Makes sense. And Mark, I've got just a couple of seconds here, a few seconds before we go to break, and I want to wrap with one question. You've been in the business for a long time and have seen it from a number of different angles. What do you think are the hallmark of the great wealth management firm?
Well, I think, first of all, their beliefs have to be aligned with high net worth individuals' beliefs, and we've spent a lot of time understanding what those are. I also think it's important to have a keen appreciation of both sides of the performance equation, the opportunity for return, but at an appropriate level of risk. And we spend a lot of time in that regard as well. Also, a willingness to be tactical when the market environment calls for it. 2008 was a perfect example of that. And it was important to protect portfolio value in what turned out to be a horrendous bear market. Rather than just riding an investment strategy through the entire cycle, both up and down, I think it's important to put clients first and do so in both how you manage money, but also in your service culture.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the great wealth management firms find a way to attract and foster great talent. And we've spent a lot of time seeking out really talented investment professionals.
I would imagine that that last remark would be the key to a good firm, is really the talent behind any industry is what's going to make or break, and especially the success of your clients. I appreciate you so much, Mark, coming into studio, sharing information about your firm, and just providing the wealth of information again that you have to my listeners. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up next in the Money Hour, escrow is a process that provides for a fair and equitable transfer of property from one owner to another. Also, make sure that the transfer of funds actually happens. A very important role when it comes to a real estate transaction is the money and making sure it gets to where it needs to go. Julie Booth with Booth Escrow right here on 1150 AM KKNW after the short break.
Mortgage fraud has been rampant since 2007. Many folks don't know they have legal rights. Find out if your mortgage loan has wrongdoings and fraud. Magnum Law Group will do a free audit of your loan documents. Facing foreclosure? Need to stop a foreclosure sale? Magnum Law Group can help. We have experts with valuable knowledge and we get results. Have you decided to short sale your property instead of a foreclosure? Magnum Law Group has the experience to negotiate better and faster for you. Call us today at 425-454-4300 or visit magnumlawgroup.com. That's magnumlawgroup.com.
Hi, this is Deborah with Magnum Law Group. Please contact us at 425-454-4300. You can visit our website at www.magnumlawgroup.com or call us at 425-454-4300.
Have you worked with an escrow officer who you didn't have confidence in? Have you ever felt rushed through a signing? Julie Booth understands that buying and selling is a big life experience, and she takes great pride in providing relevant status updates throughout the closing process. Julie has been actively involved with the Escrow Association for 28 years, currently serving as co-education chair for the South Sound Escrow Association and media chair for the Escrow Association of Washington.
This is Julie Booth with Booth Escrow. To learn more about my business practices, check out my website at www.boothescrow.com or feel free to call me at 206-429-2696. Also, to learn handy escrow tips, check out my newsletters on that website. And to read other interesting real estate matters that may be affecting your life, like Booth Escrow on Facebook.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, June 14th show. I've built a network of elite industry professionals every week sharing their knowledge and expertise to my listeners. I have three great ones in studio today. And again, if you want to talk with any of them, please pick up the phone 1-855-400-1150. Again, my show number is 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And if you are hearing this show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast. But I am here to assist and help you with any questions that you have. And again, directly connect you with any of my guests. In studio right now, Julie Booth with Booth Escrow. A purchase of a home involves a series of parties to make it happen. And it's an important part of the process is the transfer of the funds. And that's what escrow does. And Julie, being the owner of her escrow company, I'm sure she's got a wealth of information to share with us. Julie, thank you so much for coming into studio.
Thanks for having
me. Thanks for coming back.
I'm excited.
And a little background about Julie. Julie is the founder and owner of Booth Escrow, and her office is located in Redondo neighborhood of Federal Way. I grew up in Federal Way, and Redondo didn't live in the Redondo area. I wish that I did, but it's a beautiful area. She has her designated escrow officer license by the Department of Financial Institutions and is backed by $1 million fidelity policy and $1 million E&O policy. She is here to share with my listeners everything about escrow. So, Julie, let's just go ahead and start it off with, for those of my listeners that don't understand what escrow is, break it down for me.
Well, there's a lot of different types of escrow, but essentially the term escrow is defined as a neutral third party who holds money and documents, and the transaction is not completed until the terms have been met.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially just a neutral third party.
And I think it's important that people understand that, because a lot of times they go to escrow to sign their paperwork and think that they actually are going to get advice or something on what to do on that process. But really, you're just there as a third party representing the contract to make sure everybody understands what's happening, not to give any legal advice or suggestions.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So why do people go through an escrow office instead of just using signing papers through their bank?
Well, many banks do not have separate escrow departments or employ limited practice officers or escrow officers. Now, that could change with the new rules coming into effect by the CFPB this next year with the new disclosures.
Love CFPB.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know in Washington State it's required to close via escrow. So there's, you know, in some states you don't have to use an escrow company, correct? But in Washington State?
Attorneys can close and do close real estate transactions. So you've got independent escrows, you've got title companies, and you've got attorneys all closing
real estate transactions. But you've got to have that representation.
Yes. Well, you can close your own, but how many lenders will fund an individual trying to, you know, conduct their own transaction? It's not going to happen.
Makes sense. So, Julie, what about a listener that wants to purchase real estate without their spouse?
Interesting question. This has been brought up a lot here recently. You can purchase without your spousal acquiring with you, but the spousal interest has to be addressed because this is a community property state.
Yes.
And otherwise, there'll be a cloud on your title policy that would have to be cleared at the time you resold the property. That's if you're a cash buyer.
Mm-hmm.
If there's institutional financing involved, that lender is going to make absolutely sure that that spousal interest is handled.
And you want to make sure if you're doing, there could be different reasons why you could have a spouse not on the loan, but they want to be on the title and they're going to be on the contract. And every bank actually has something different as far as how that contract is compared to how they're taking title if one of the spouses left off the loan. But you just want to make sure that you're finding out what that means when you're not actually on the loan or involved in the real estate transaction.
First thing I try to do is bring everybody together and find out what the true point is. What, why is this person not acquiring? What is the expectations of the parties involved? And by the way, a prenup does not supersede this requirement to address the spousal interest, even if the property was yours.
Really?
Right.
I didn't know that.
Prenup doesn't work.
Wow.
Title companies are absolutely going to want to address that spousal
interest. Okay, and I guess that makes sense. So, Julie, let's talk about, so you mentioned what the reason is. Let's talk about the spouse having been released because of their credit issues. So if you're on a mortgage, they go based on the lowest credit score from the two borrowers or three borrowers, how many are on the loan. So if their credit doesn't qualify, but they've got the other spouse has enough income to qualify for both, we just leave them off.
Well, that's fine to have them left off the loan, but they can both, as you mentioned a moment ago, be co-owners, especially if it's their personal residence. Encouraging one of the spouses to release their homestead interest or their community property interests just because of a credit issue is not really the going trend.
Yeah. Today. And it seems like it would be the best of both worlds if they were, because they have ownership in the property, but they're not on the liability for the debt. So just finding out and making sure that everybody understands how that's set up, correct?
Right. Exactly.
So how does the spouse go about releasing his or her interest?
Well, it's done with a deed. In Washington State, there are different types of deeds. So the parties will want to review these types of deeds before making a decision. And there's a few ways to get these documents prepared. They can have their attorney draw the document and the excise tax affidavit that needs to accompany it. Or if the parties are super savvy, they can prepare the documents themselves. Or they can ask their limited practice officer to prepare the documents, their escrow officer, somebody like myself that's handling the closing, to prepare that document. The parties absolutely need to provide a written request to the limited practice officer to prepare that document, and it can be done through an email.
And if you're just tuning in right now, I'm actually talking to Julie Booth with Booth Escrow, and we're talking about everything regarding escrow. We're talking a lot about the spouse and not being on the loan. And so why does the spouse have to sign the deed of trust, Julie, if he or she is not going to be on the loan and not be on title?
A lot of people are surprised by that. You know, if they're not going to acquire title, why are they required to sign the deed of trust? And it's because of homestead interests. It sounds like this property then would be their primary residence. And so the non-borrowing spouse needs to recognize the debt on their homestead.
So, Julie, what about a property in a trust? Or, you know, on the lending side, there's a lot more stuff that has to take place for a trust, but I think it's a really good idea to put your property into a trust. Are there any special documents needed to sell the property?
Yes, the parties need to have a copy of the trust agreement available, really when the escrow is set up. Title's going to want to review that trust agreement, make sure everything's in line, the correct parties are signing in the correct way. Any future amendments to the trust agreement should be submitted as well. And then having the separate tax identification number should be also taken to the closing, for the 1099 form.
So, Julie, there's a lot of this happening here because our money is so inexpensive. Our real estate market is just unbelievable. And foreign people, they're coming in and investing in our real estate because they can't get the return in their country on their money. So what about someone coming in and using foreign money to close?
I suggest they talk to their bankers right away. Get that stuff moving. Find out what the conditions are. Don't wait until the last minute because chances are you're going to miss your closing date.
Yeah.
Talk to your bank.
Makes great sense. Are there any special considerations for foreign sellers?
Not if the sales price is less than $300,000 and the buyer or a member of the buyer's family will be residing in the property as their primary residence. But if your transaction does not meet these requirements and the sellers are not U.S. taxpayers, then 10% of the sales price must be sent to the IRS within 20 days of the close of escrow.
Okay.
Now, the parties can agree to waive this as escrow's responsibility. However, the buyer may end up with a lien by the IRS on the property in the future. The seller can apply for a waiver or a reduction, but the buyer must agree to this, and it should be done and handled prior to the close of escrow.
So, Julie, we talked a little bit when I was talking with Mark about fraud, and I mean, there's just so much more of that going on in the industry now. How can you protect yourself from fraud?
I have a few tips. Take a moment to verify that the companies that you've chosen to do business with are licensed and bonded. Mm-hmm. Your escrow officer and loan officer will be licensed with the Department of Financial Institutions in Washington and easy to verify.
And if they aren't, then they shouldn't be doing mortgages.
That's exactly right. You want to vet your people, right? We hear a lot about that word these days.
Yeah.
Escrow closers that work for title companies are exempt from this licensing. Never, never email non-public personal information without being password protected or encrypted. And expect your providers to send your NPPI via an encrypted system or with a password that is sent in a separate email. Most of these systems are user-friendly. Just keep track of your passwords because chances are you're going to be sent that exact program in a later email. Now, my IT people think maybe I'm a little nuts with this, but if you do online banking at all, use a dedicated computer to do that. Don't do anything else but online banking with that computer. And this keeps you from accidentally downloading programs that hackers have installed behind innocent-looking things to steal your keystrokes and your passwords.
That's a great idea. Well, I think about people just if they do the simple things that we know that we should do, and a lot of people don't. How many people use their same password for everything? And so I don't understand why even the simple things people are not doing that. But that's an amazing idea. And what about modifications, loan modifications?
Well, I brought a few tips right off the DFI website. A warning sign of a possible loan modification scam is if the company is operating out of state. If the company is not licensed with the DFI, the company claims that a license is not required because there are attorneys involved. If the out-of-state attorneys are not licensed to practice in Washington State, if money is required up front before any paperwork is reviewed or signed, if the company tells you not to contact your lender, or, obviously, if the company requires direct access to your bank account or credit card. Always, always consult an attorney if something doesn't feel quite right.
It's so exciting to do this show because I just have really the best of the best in studio. I mean, everybody that comes into studio is at the top of their field, and we can all be experts in one area, I think. And we've got three different experts in, well, four and counting myself, in different arenas. And if there's any questions that you have for Julie regarding escrow, pick up the phone and give her a call, 1-855-411-50. That's my show number. We can directly connect you to Julie. Again, it's 1- 855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And you can actually go online to themoneyhour.com and search for Julie's name, type in escrow, and you'll see her segments. And you can actually re-listen to her podcast if we went through too fast for some of this information. Julie, again, thank you for coming back into studio. It's always a pleasure to have you here, and look forward to the next time you come back and share some more information.
Thanks, Tina. It was fun.
Coming up next in the Money Hour, how do you drive more traffic to the webs to your website? How do you increase your business? Deborah Trapin with D11 Consulting right here on 1150 KKNW after the short break.
Mortgage fraud has been rampant since 2007. Many folks don't know they have legal rights. Find out if your mortgage loan has wrongdoings and fraud. Magnum Law Group will do a free audit of your loan documents. Facing foreclosure? Need to stop a foreclosure sale? Magnum Law Group can help. We have experts with valuable knowledge, and we get results. Have you decided to short sale your property instead of a foreclosure? Magnum Law Group has the experience to negotiate better and faster for you. Call us today at 425-454-4300 or visit magnumlawgroup.com. That's magnumlawgroup.com.
Hi, this is Deborah with Magnum Law Group. Please contact us at 425-454-4300. You can visit our website at www.magnumlawgroup.com or call us at 425-454-4300.
Are you a woman in business or a brand that wants to help them figure out how to take their business to the next level? Do you have questions about how to effectively and safely use social media to build your brand and business? Are you ready to live your purpose out loud every single day, but not sure how to make it happen? Are you looking to start a thriving business, uncover new ideal clients, or find your dream job? Have you been trying to put your brand story together, but keep getting stuck? Deborah Trapin of D11 Consulting is a well-respected expert who speaks, writes, and consults on the topics of personal brand, digital marketing strategies, and living a fired-up life. Deborah Trapin of D11 Consulting helps entrepreneurs build businesses and lives they love by attracting ideal clients with a solid brand message and simple digital marketing strategies. Deborah Trapin of D11 Consulting is passionate about inspiring entrepreneurs to define their personal brand to build a business and life they love. Deborah Trapin of D11 Consulting is excited to help you get fired up and on your way to building a successful business and life.
This is Deborah Trapin of D11 Consulting. To learn more about my firm, connect with me on social media, or sign up for a free consultation, please visit my website, d11consulting.com. Be sure to sign up to Fire Up on my email list, and you will receive a free core values exercise to get you started defining your personal brand and building a life you love. If you prefer email, send me a note at Deborah@D11Consulting.com. Again, to learn more about my services, connect with me on social, or sign up to Fire Up, visit D11Consulting.com. I look forward to connecting with you soon.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, June 14th show. I'm empowering our community, providing you with opportunities and solutions when it comes to anything regarding your money. And if you're listening or hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, but I'm here to assist, answer any questions that you have, and most importantly, to connect you with any of the guests that I have in studio. Please pick up the phone, give my show a call, 1-855-411-50, or online at themoneyhour.com. And any of the segments that you hear today, you can type in into our search engine and find the guest by name or by topic, and you can re-listen to anything that you're hearing. And in studio right now, first time in studio that I've had Deborah Trapin with D11 Consulting. Deborah, thank you so much for coming into studio.
Thank you for having me. It's a blast to be here already.
And I'm excited. I do a business with Deborah personally myself, and it's just exciting to have her here. She is such an icon in the industry. She presents, does speaking engagements all over in my arena when I'm working with real estate agents. So it's exciting to have her share her information on branding. Deborah is the owner and chief experience creator at D11 Consulting. The D11 mission is partnering with women in business and companies who want to connect with them and build engaging brands online. Her passion is ignited when helping her clients get to the core of their personal brand to build a business and enjoy their life. Everybody wants us to do that, or everybody wants to do that, to be able to enjoy their life. But we also want to have a successful business. And the combination of the two, I think, is sometimes difficult. And what Deborah, in her frequent speaking, she talks about blogging, social ambassador for conferences and organizations to really help to get that balance and to maximize your business at the same time enjoy your life and your family, which is back at home.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much for coming into studio, Deborah. So let's talk about personal brand. And I think that's a key thing, is when you're out there and clients are looking you up and you're referred by somebody, the first thing they're going on doing right now is online. And I learned that from you and got a real lesson on, you know, really the branding. I'm redoing my radio site because of my coaching and counseling through you. So all my listeners, be excited to see my new site. It's going to be up very, very soon. So Deborah, let's talk about the importance of personal brand.
Sure. I think it's important to actually understand what personal brand is. And it's a specific image or impression in the minds of others about you. So I get the question a lot, like, do I have a personal brand and do I need one? And it's always absolutely. And yeah, you already have one.
Mm-hmm.
the thing I always, the little nutshell that I like to put it in is, it's what people say about you when you're not in the room.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the gossip. I'm talking about when they say, you know, effervescent, you know, high energy, or always calm under stress. These tidbits about you that people think of when you're not with them. And it's so important to be able to use that to mm-hmm. build your business, because there's so many choices out there. There are many real estate agents. There are many mortgage reps mm-hmm. and escrow professionals. And so how do you actually stand out and become memorable? Well, you use your personal brand for that.
Yeah. And I have to use you again myself as an example, because I'm going through this process. And if you look at my radio site right now, it's not the one that Deborah is putting together for me, because we're going through a lot of rebranding with that. But I did want to make a lot of changes to my personal website for my mortgage industry. And I never talk about this in studio, but I have some real core principles, business principles, leadership principles, and personal inspirational core values. And so just putting my quotes that, you know, I have three quotes that I wrote, and they're my core of everything when it comes to my personal inner self and my inspiration. And it was really nice for you to go, you know what, those need to be on your site. And I've had so many comments from clients, you know, that's the first thing that they see when it goes across the screen. And so, I mean, it's really important. I appreciate so much, because you don't think about that in the business side. You think personal is different than business, and they're separate.
Right.
And how can a business owner build their personal brand?
Well, I think it's important to also remember that building your personal brand is building your business, uh-huh. because a strong personal brand creates a magnet to your business. The concept is, when you define your values, as we've talked about mm-hmm. just with your business, when you define your personal core values, they usually translate over into your business, as well as things that you're passionate about. So if you're passionate about wine and dogs and yoga, mm-hmm. you want to share that with the world, because you want people who are getting ready to do a transaction to have something in common with you.
Sure.
And because of what you've mentioned before, is that people go online, they look to learn about you, that mm-hmm. they're looking for a nugget that you have in common. And so when you do that, when you actually define it and put it out there like a quote,
yep.
it triggers people. It inspires them to want to know more about you. And it's a side benefit that they're inspired by what you love, because that means you have that commonality right from the start.
Makes total sense. So what about a niche, Deborah? How important is it to have a niche when it comes to your business?
You bet. Well, I think having a niche or a niche statement for me is really about a personal brand statement, okay. right? It's helping you understand what makes you unique, what is compelling about you, and who your ideal audience is. So if you ask yourself, what would someone find interesting about me, that you have to find out who the person on the other side that's asking that question
sure.
is. And so when you go through and you look at your personal brand statements, then you ask questions like, who is my ideal client? Who do I love to work with? And you can start even with, you know, who are the last five clients that I've done business with mm-hmm. that just fired me up and filled my tank, as opposed to maybe the five clients who kind of sucked the life out of you. And it, that does happen. You get referrals and things don't work out and you feel it, they feel it. Mm-hmm. So focus on the ones that you have in common, the ones that you love to work with, and then figure out what their problem is.
Yeah.
So what are you going to solve for them? Really, who do they want? What do they need? And then what's the solution that you're providing? So if they're ready to purchase a home, they might be ready for a real estate agent at this point. So think about those kind of questions and be the answer, and then make a promise mm-hmm. that you can keep. So, and make that compelling again, something that's interesting and memorable. Personal brand is you,
yeah.
but you have to be memorable for them to remember what you said
yes.
in the sea of sameness and noise.
And I think you're going to be a better business owner by not wanting to attract everyone, because we each have our individual personalities, and not to say that it's bad or good, but if you're a driver, you're going to connect really well with drivers. If you're an influencer, you're going to connect well with an influencer. And we are in sales, so we're supposed to adjust our personality to accommodate to anyone's needs. But the reality is, I'd rather spend time just being who I am and attracting the people that want to work with me, and the ones that don't, that's okay, you know. And so I think just having everything and really being able to share your story is so important. So we've talked about personal branding, Deborah. We've talked about the niche, and what's the next step in getting engaged in social media? Because that's kind of where I'm going with my radio. As soon as the site gets up and we're completed with that, then it's going to be, how can I connect better with my listeners on social media, because I'm not really doing that.
Right, absolutely.
I won't tell you what Deborah said when she looked at my radio site, but that's a...
Thank you for that. That's for behind closed doors. Yeah. You know, I think the interesting thing with, again, what we're talking about personal branding translating into business is that personal branding isn't about becoming famous to the world. Mm-hmm. It's about becoming intentionally and selectively famous to the people that know, like, and trust you, or should know,
sure.
like, and trust you. So when you think about how do you translate that onto social, it's really important to know what your purpose is there. What are you trying to do? Are you trying to increase your visibility or build credibility? Mm-hmm. Are you trying to uncover new clients or business or find friends? You know, it's sometimes we know a lot of times in business, we start business with our friends. So
sure.
we don't always have to be talking about what we do for a living. We can be talking about what we do for fun, find friends and build a sphere that way. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, just finding out what's going on in companies that we'd like to break into. So knowing that is important because that translates. Do I use Facebook? If I really want to reconnect with my sphere, that's where I go. If I
yeah.
want to uncover people I've never met before, I always like to say Twitter is kind of like door knocking in this century.
Okay.
You know, but you get to choose who they are and what they have in common with you. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to figure out in 10 seconds what you have in common.
Sure.
You're searching for that. And all sorts of other things. If you like visual representation, then you can use platforms like Instagram and Pinterest mm-hmm. to tell your story. Because,
yeah.
you know, a picture's worth 2,000 words these days because
yep.
we put words on our pictures.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's lots of ways to translate that story. It's just find one or two platforms that makes the most sense for what you want to accomplish.
And I'm glad to hear that, because there are, how many social media platforms are there? Like a ridiculous amount.
And
so how
hundreds.
Do you, yeah, and which was, I heard that somewhere. Maybe I heard it from one of your presentations, but it was surprising because I thought maybe there was 10.
Well, there really are 9 core, but
okay.
even if you just focus on the 9 core,
that's
doing is social media.
Yes, exactly.
And you're not doing your business.
And
so.
we've got to do our business, make money, and talk to clients.
Yes, please.
So are there some general tips to get us started towards a richer engagement level on social media?
Absolutely. First and foremost, be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Be authentically who you are. Do not pretend that you are Mary Sunshine if you are an Eeyore by nature. Embrace who you are. Also, second is Google yourself or Bing yourself.
Yeah.
When was the last time you did that? Because guess what? whether you're going out on a date for the first time or someone's looking to do business with you, they are searching you out. Mm-hmm. A tip on that is put your first and last name in quotes so that it only searches for your name, not your first and your last name.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll pull up every Tina and every Mitchell if you don't.
Okay.
Also, update your profile pics. This is something I get on a soapbox quite a lot about. We're not looking for glamour shots online. Mm-hmm. We're looking for ways for people to recognize you and feel comfortable when they're first seeing you. The last first impression you want to make is, oh my gosh, you look so much older than you do on Facebook.
Yeah.
So get that profile picture updated. And then the last tip I'd love to leave with all of you is remember there's a progressive power of emotional connection and engagement on social media that we underestimate. Think about how it feels when you post a photo and that feeling that when you wait for somebody to like it for the first time, or when they comment, how that makes you feel, or even more epically, when they share it with their world.
Sure.
Think about how that makes you feel and do that for the people who are you're connected to.
Yeah. That's great advice, Deborah. And if you go to themoneyhour.com, all of us in studio, you'll see our recent pictures literally like an hour ago. We had them taken right before we started our show. So you'll always see recent pictures for us. Deborah, thank you so much for coming in. And thank you for all you're doing for my personal brand, in my mortgage business, and really helping my radio show to get to that next level. I'm excited to see where we're going to be in the next few months. So thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. I cannot wait to get it fired up for sure.
Yay. This is your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, signing off for the day. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday, everyone. And you can actually re-listen to the show tomorrow because it re-airs on Sunday as well. If you miss any of the show, or you can always go online to themoneyhour.com, search in the search engine for any topic that you're interested in. I'm sure that I've had it in studio. Look forward to talking with you and talking money next Saturday right here on 1150 AM KKNW. Thanks, everyone.
The preceding program is paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395, and Washington CL number 81395, is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420, is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit absoluteloans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.